Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03. We made it to Friday afternoon, January 17th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. As we prepare for a shot of Arctic cold, one of the Chicago area's minor league baseball teams is preparing for summer. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the Supreme Court has upheld a law requiring the Chinese company ByteDance to sell TikTok by Sunday or face a ban in the U.S. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Shelley, thank you for joining us today. And the TikTok ban, which seemed unlikely to see the light of day when it was passed into law last spring, is now very real. It's going to go into effect on Sunday unless there is some sort of last-second divestiture or President Trump just chooses to not enforce the law when he's sworn in on Monday.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. The government closes down for the weekend in a minute. It's Martin Luther King weekend. We're switching governments over the weekend, and the Biden administration has said they're probably not going to enforce this law because they're basically no longer home. So I think TikTok probably gets a reprieve over the weekend. Whether the new administration is going to continue the practice of not enforcing the law or enforcing the fines, or whether they will, is anyone's guess. But I think for the next 48 hours, TikTok still lives. What happens on Tuesday, that's a bigger question. This is quite unfortunate, to tell you the truth. If TikTok survives, that's great, because the economy around TikTok is pretty spectacular. If it doesn't survive, it's really unfortunate for a lot of reasons. First of all, no one is safer closing TikTok. And most people will turn around and say, but China has all our data and they're getting it from TikTok, and ByteDance is a Chinese company, and therefore all of the data that TikTok takes off our phones is being shared with China. Anyone listening to me, this is 2025. China has every ounce of data from your phone right now without TikTok. They have every ounce of data they want without TikTok. TikTok is basically it's another app, and every ounce of data from your phone, every ounce of data that you produce, all of the data exhaust you don't think about, is hoovered up by any number of companies that aggregate that data, and that data is for sale. So China doesn't have to steal it. They can just buy it. It's like, if that's the data they want, it's just, there's no national security issue here that has been demonstrated, because ultimately there are plenty of places for China to get data, and they have it all. What is going to happen, though, and people will debate me on this because it's a big, you know, China's the boogeyman, but there is a gigantic danger here, and this is to crush the creator economy and the communities that creators have built around TikTok, and to realistically destroy hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of cottage industries pretty much overnight. Because while they do have a place to go, they can go to YouTube, they can go to Instagram, they can go to Facebook. Those platforms have not captured the hearts and minds of the public the way TikTok has, although they offer very similar products. And so to rebuild a community where you've got 250,000 likes or 500,000 or 1 million likes, and you've got 300,000 or 500,000 followers as an individual creator, this is incredibly difficult to do. And most people who are not in the creator economy aren't going to think that much about it. But imagine if someone just said, hey, you know what? We don't like the person that owns the building that you're leasing, so we're just going to throw you out because we don't like the owner.
I was going to say, this raises a number of points about the creator economy and also whether or not current media law is built for this moment of digital content creation, Shelley. But unfortunately, that is a conversation for another day. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, taking a break from winter to look ahead to warmer days.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Chicago Dogs baseball team may be in their offseason, but it's anything but quiet in their offices at this time of year. We welcome in Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont. Sean, thank you for joining us today. And Sean, speaking as a resident of Chicago's leafy and fashionable northwest suburbs, I have watched the evolution of the Chicago Dogs from the first opening day, and it seems like it was a hit from the first pitch. I mean, I remember people saying, boy, this is a lot of fun. I get to see Carlos Zambrano again. And that momentum has been sustained even through COVID-19.
It has. No, we're very fortunate. You know, Rosemont is a great partner. They are a great entertainment destination. And then Impact Field, our ballpark, is one of the nicest in the country. It's a true multi-purpose event stadium. So we're hosting baseball in the summer, but we've also got a lot of great events that we do year-round.
When the business plan was first put together to establish a minor league baseball team, put it in Rosemont, just across 294 from the entertainment district and nestled in between one of the runways at O'Hare, the reality of the operations, did this meet or did it exceed expectations going in 6 or 7 years ago?
Well, I would say today expectations have, you know, far exceeded our vision and our dreams. The fan support has been great. You know, the sponsorship support has been great. But, you know, at the heart of what we do, our product, you know, we celebrate baseball, but our product is fun. And from the time you park your car until you go home, it's a 3-hour event. Baseball is the star in there. But as you know, everything we do is built around the guest experience and having fun.
And then that extends to the off season as well, because I know there have been a couple of years in which Impact Field has been turned into a winter wonderland. So even though the baseball ends in September, the ballpark itself is in use pretty much all year round.
It is. You know, 3 of the last 4 years, we did our big Winter Light Festival, which ran about for 40 nights and averaged about 5,000 a night. This year, we introduced a Brunch with Santa series that went from Thanksgiving through Christmas, where we had 2 brunches every Saturday and Sunday. And we had so much success, we're going to extend that into Easter and do some spring events. But we also host a bunch of fun events for our season ticket holders. During the fall, we have a World Series watch parties where they come into the club and we feed them and they watch the World Series, always hoping that it's going to be, you know, at some point the Cubs or the White Sox. But We're working hard year round, and right now we're focused on, you know, building the promotional plans for this summer and making sure we sell out opening night in most of our games.
And on top of that, there is a thriving and dynamic minor league baseball community in the Chicago area. I mean, obviously, we have two major league baseball teams in the Cubs and the White Sox. So sometimes that's subject for open to debate, Sean. But outside of that, you have Gary, you have Joliet, you have Schaumburg, you have the Dogs in Rosemont, you have Kane County. I mean, it's a really interesting field. You have regional rivalries, and it's a fun destination for a family. And how does this dynamic community of minor league baseball teams around the Chicago area, how does that help the Chicago Dogs?
Well, I think, you know, we float all boats, you know, starting at the top with Major League Baseball. But I'm not sure there, your combination of the two Major League teams and the handful of minor league teams, I'm not sure there's more and better baseball anywhere in the country. I don't think you could find it on either coast. This is a baseball town, and I think we all of those teams you mentioned do well, and all of us really focused on that family experience and affordability.
Now, Sean, I'm a White Sox fan, first and foremost, but I find myself going to more and more Dogs games just because it's a relatively cheap date with your family compared to the Major League Baseball experience. And as someone who knows all of the prospects at every level of the White Sox system, it's always fun to see a familiar name who didn't have the opportunity to catch on with the big club, but they find themselves either on the Dogs or on the other side of the diamond. And a lot of the people who are on the Dogs, like your players, they're still looking for that shot. I mean, they can. It's a partner team, right? It's a partner league, and that you could potentially see a Chicago Dogs player on a major league field before too long.
Absolutely. Last year, we were blessed. One of our pitchers made it up, made his rookie debut with the Boston Red Sox, and then ironically today, one of our young star pitchers, Kenny Serwa, signed with the Detroit Tigers. So we're very proud of him. Obviously, you mentioned Zambrano earlier. That was a great treat to have him here in 2019. But you're seeing guys, young stars on the way up that maybe haven't been discovered yet. And you're also seeing guys that may be recovering from an injury or trying to get back to the big leagues. A guy like Narciso Crook, our center fielder, who played for the Cubs 3 or 4 years ago, trying to get back to the show.
Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont, thank you for joining us today and allowing us to dream of warmer days. Coming up next, suburban-based Walgreens looking to generate a comeback.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Walgreens is beginning what it hopes is a turnaround with a strategy that includes drastically reducing its footprint. Joining us to discuss the future of the locally headquartered pharmacy chain is Bruce Japson, healthcare writer for Forbes in Chicago. Bruce, thank you for joining us today. And I think we've discussed in depth the reasons why Walgreens is at this particular milestone, a bad investment in a locally owned clinic, and just the evolution of the pharmacy moving away from a place where you can pick up all sorts of stuff in a convenient manner to a place that can distribute more expensive drugs that you purchase online.
Yeah, well, not necessarily online, but I mean, Walgreens is, you know, there's these things out there called pharmacy benefit managers, which you basically, it's a health insurance for your prescriptions. And they're under a little bit of scrutiny because they are controlling, you know, where you pick up your prescriptions, whether you get them by mail, whether you get a generic or a brand name. And they're kind of under scrutiny nationally in Congress because there's three of them that control the whole market, if you will. Well, Walgreens CEO Tim Wentworth came from the pharmacy benefit management industry, so he's trying to figure out a way now that he's running drugstores to make it better, and the stock is going up because they're negotiating some better deals to get their pharmacists to be paid for doing more than just filling prescriptions. I mean, pharmacists are counseling patients, and if they're making sure that you take your right medications at the right time and the right amount, they'll say, you know what, we're preventing a more expensive hospital stay. Therefore, we at Walgreens, our pharmacists, just should be being paid more. So they're making a little headway there. And also on the specialty pharmacy, which you brought up, the newer drugs are infused and injected. They're not pills and capsules. So Walgreens is getting more equipment and stuff, and you know, high refrigeration, and you know, for the vaccines. Remember, the COVID vaccines required refrigeration, and you could get a vaccine in a drugstore, which you couldn't even do 10 years ago. So they're adding more services to take care of the more complex medication needs of people, and they're having some success. So Wall Street and people would say, you know what, we need to see some more quarters. They had their earnings last week. They looked a little better than they had before. They did spend several $1 billion on the Village MD doctor clinic company. They got to still get out from under that, but they're getting there.
And then very quickly, 450 stores to be closed this year. It seems like the front of the house it's not making money. The people right. who need to go on a pop run or a beer run or have their pictures developed, that used to be a staple of the business, but no more.
Right, exactly. And I think what you're going to see is, you know, Walgreens, we're old enough to remember 15, 20 years ago when they were opening a new store every 17 hours. Well, those days are done. Retail has changed. You have Amazon, all that other stuff. And so you might see, as these leases expire and they get out of them, you're going to probably see Walgreens and CVS and other drugstores with a smaller store footprint. Because they just don't need all that space if people aren't going there. So, you know, your neighborhood store may close. There's still going to be pharmacies, still going to be drug stores. But I think you're going to see them evolve into kind of a smaller thing with more healthcare items and a smaller store footprint.
Bruce Japsen, healthcare writer for Forbes based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a local businessman who's driven by his passion for toys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The U.S. Supreme Court rules on a law that could potentially ban TikTok in the United States. President-elect Trump's inauguration moving indoors. In Entrepreneur Friday, the topic is toys, as we talk to a shopkeeper who's delighting families on Chicago's North Side. And many younger investors are pursuing a strategy that prioritizes stability over risk. Business, the markets are higher today. The Dow is up 430 points. The NASDAQ is up 353. The S&P 500 up 74. We have 44 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 1231. Topping our news at the half hour, the Supreme Court has upheld a law involving TikTok, which says the platform cannot operate in the U.S. if it continues to be owned by a Chinese entity. This is CBS News legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The Biden administration has just announced that it's not likely to enforce the ban, and we don't know what the Trump administration will do. But we do know that when it comes to new technology, the Supreme Court is willing to say not all of it violates the First Amendment. And moreover, they're not necessarily going to use the highest level of scrutiny in looking at laws that limit which social media platforms can be used in the United States.
The ban would have gone into effect on Sunday, but had the Biden White House chosen to enforce it. President-elect Trump has announced that his inauguration ceremony on Monday is moving inside because of concerns about cold weather. Correspondent Scott McFarlane has more.
He announced on his social media platform, in fact, it will move indoors here at the Capitol. Traditionally, it's held on the grand west front of the Capitol with supporters lining the National Mall. But the temperatures here are going to be particularly brutal Monday. It is also a possibility of a Sunday night snow event, which makes things very dicey in the congested city of Washington, D.C.
The last time the inauguration was moved indoors was 1985, when President Ronald Reagan began his second term. We'll have live coverage of the Trump-Vance inauguration on Monday morning, starting at 10 a.m. Chicago time. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are substantially higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And all three major indices are up about 1% today. So what is driving this afternoon of good feeling?
Well, Rob, you're right. We have seen a little bit of a reprieve, and the S&P 500 up about 3% on the week as things were looking quite dismal earlier in the week for the benchmark index. But I think it's twofold here, Rob. We've seen a little bit of a reprieve in the 10-year note. The 10-year note was kind of knocking on 5%. Now it's back at 4.6%. And also, we saw earnings season kick off, and the big banks are kind of telling us that the economy is still hitting on all cylinders. So that optimism is propelling the U.S. major indices back higher, and you're even seeing Bitcoin vault back above 100 and kind of knocking on its all-time highs as President Trump, who's going to be the crypto king president, has kind of had a lot of optimism pushed out there for the cryptocurrency.
So we'll talk about that in a second, because it feels like ever since November, let's talk about it right now, as a matter of fact.
Let's do it.
Since November, there's been I said yesterday that the equities market and the bond market were a case of the head and the heart when it came to what can you expect out of the second Trump administration. The heart, of course, being the equities market, which took off like a rocket late in the evening of November 5th and continued for the entire month of November. But then the head kicked in, and that was the bond market, which took a look at some of the administration's campaign promises, and there was some anxiety about inflationary fears tied to tariffs and things like that. And it seems like that debate has been taking place since November, but come Monday, some of those questions may be answered.
I think you're right, and we're going to have to wait till Tuesday because the market's going to be closed to honor MLK, Martin Luther King Day, on Monday. But what's fascinating, to your point, is I lean with the bonds. Hey, I cut my teeth at the Chicago Board of Trade right there at LaSalle and Jackson. So I think the bond market is telling us more than what we are seeing with these animal spirits in equity markets. So I think when we finally see some of the campaign promises, or what does Trump 2.0 actually look like? I know we have a lot of executive orders being signed on Tuesday the 21st, but what does that rubber actually mean in the road look like? Will there be a lag in some of these policies? So that's where I think the bond market is trying to say, hey, let's take a big deep breath here. I think we've gotten ahead of ourselves in this, you know, hopium, this optimism that all M&A, all regulations are going away, everything's going to be running wild in the first couple of months. So these first 100 days, I think, are going to be a little more volatile, and that's where I'm getting a little apprehension, a little protective in the equity markets, because I think the bond market is flashing a light saying, hey, we have a situation here. We spend too much than we actually bring in from the IRS perspective, and we have to re-roll a lot of this debt, meaning that the Federal Reserve, for the first time, they're going to spend a trillion with a capital T, Rob, $1.5 trillion just on interest to service the debt. The debt's out of control, and that's going to be a big headwind, I think, for the Trump administration 2.0.
A week ago today, we were talking about a jobs report that was above expectations. That sent the markets into a tailspin. We had two encouraging reads on inflation, consumer price index and producer price index. So clearly, we have a strong economy still. People are hiring, people are working, and we also have maybe some of those inflationary pressures easing a little bit. Is some of this optimism we're seeing out of equities, is this once again the possibility of maybe more interest rate cuts taking place in 2025?
Well, I don't know about you, Rob, but I just paid $8 for a dozen eggs, so I don't feel like the inflation is really easing. And I think the way the Federal Reserve has kind of trained us, I feel like we're trained dogs to look at this month-over-month movement. But if you look at where inflation is from pre-COVID to where it is now, everything across the board is about 20% higher. So their measurement is not the reality of the U.S. economy. They actually strip out energy as well as food in their metrics. So I think they have some work to do there, and I'm afraid that they're kind of giving up on their 2% target. Even if they met their 2% target, which they're nowhere near, let's be clear, Rob, if they met their 2% target, we'd have to let that sit at 2% for about another year and a half to get anywhere near to where prices were back in 2019. So that's where there's the disconnect, and I think that's where there's going to be some volatility short term.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO, KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, we'll check back in with a guest who's a perfect complement to National Puzzle Month.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're checking back in with the man who took over a beloved local toy store in 2016, preserving its tradition as an urban oasis for children and families. Welcome in Scott Friedland, who's the head shopkeeper at Timeless Toys, 4749 North Lincoln in Lincoln Square on the north side of Chicago. Scott, thank you for joining us today. And owning a toy store, it's not the whimsical activity that you see in the movies. It is constant work, Scott. And in fact, you're in the middle of show season right now. So you're attending shows to source new toys. And when you go to a show to evaluate a new toy, and you put the hat on that says, I'm viewing the world through the eyes of an 8-year-old, what are you looking for?
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, we're right in the middle of show season right now. And you know, we're looking for a lot of things. One, we're looking for things that are high quality, that are going to last your family for a long time. We're looking for educational product, and we're looking for things that are fun. You know, it's kind of a mix of everything. We look for new and unique vendors out there. Every year there's new vendors on the scene. We're happy to bring them into our store and offer unique new product. And, you know, we're out there making friends and making relationships with our manufacturers so that we can continue to have the great toys in our store that people in Chicago love.
Now, when you source toys, I would imagine you probably have a different mission compared to major retailers when they source toys.
Yeah, absolutely we do. You know, we're looking to support the small manufacturers We're looking for those companies that are dedicated to small retailers as well, and you know, making the prices competitive and fair for everybody. And we're looking to partner with those manufacturers that have the same mission that we do. They want to bring fun, educational toys for kids and things that are not just trendy items that are going to get, you know, lost in the shuffle with everything else.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. We're talking to Scott Friedland, head shopkeeper at Timeless Toys, 4749 North Lincoln in Chicago's Lincoln Square neighborhood on the north side. It's National Puzzle Month. Now, when we say it's National Puzzle Month, we're talking about jigsaw puzzles, right? Or are we talking about puzzle toys?
We're talking about jigsaw puzzles.
And that seems like an activity that must have experienced a renaissance during the COVID-19 shutdown year, you know, 2020 going into 2021. You streamed every series imaginable starting in March and April of that year. You got tired of Tiger King. You never wanted to hear the name Joe Exotic ever again. And then all of a sudden you went into your cabinet and then you found that 1,000-piece lighthouse jigsaw puzzle and discovered you really enjoyed doing it as an adult, because it's just a great activity that allows you to focus on something and turn everything else in your life off.
Yeah, puzzles really did hit a resurgence during COVID-19 era. And, you know, in fact, in 2020 and 2021, we sold more puzzles in those 2 years than we do in a usual 5-year period. But what's great about puzzles is that people, you know, it didn't lose steam. People realized that they love puzzles. They're great activities. They're great educational toys for kids. And like you said, they're perfect for adults too. And adults need to have that screen-free time, that entertainment, and that play value. So, yeah, it's puzzle month. January is the perfect month for it. This weekend is going to be freezing cold. So why not pick up a puzzle, have a great indoor activity with some hot chocolate, keep yourself warm this weekend?
Now, this is amazing. One of the biggest trends in toys right now is Jellycat, the line of plush animals. And Jellycats, Scott, have been hot sellers in my home going back to 2016, because my oldest daughter has two Jellycat bunny rabbits. My youngest daughter cannot sleep without her two Jellycat bunny rabbits. But it seems like the people who are driving this Jellycat trend are high school age. So what brought them into the marketplace?
Yeah, it's high school age and adult, you know. Like you said, Jellycat has been one of my favorite plush lines for a long time. Their stuff is so high quality. They are so cuddly and soft. And what's happening is Jellycat has done a great job at creating value in their plush for older kids and adults as well. They have different flowers out now. They have different foods. They have all sorts of, you know, decorative plush. And so it's just the same high quality, the same softness, the same amount of fun, but for adults. And so, you know, one of our great selling items last year was the aloe vera plant. You know, it makes a great gift. So these have become really popular over holiday season. We were getting hundreds of phone calls a day looking for specific Jellycats, and they're really starting to become a collector's item for those teens and adults, like you said.
Scott Friedland, head shopkeeper, Timeless Toys, 4749 North Lincoln Avenue in the Lincoln Square neighborhood in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, taking a non-traditional approach to investing.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Many young people are defying traditional investing norms, shifting focus to conservative assets like cash, bonds, and blue chip stocks, prioritizing stability over the past generation's high risk strategies. Joining us to discuss is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And this flies in the face, I think, of a lot of stories that you've heard here and elsewhere about younger investors jumping into meme stocks, jumping into volatile assets like Bitcoin, jumping into all sorts of risky asset classes because they can make you a lot of money in a short amount of time. But it sounds sounds like when you pull out those for the younger people who are jumping into those particular categories, there are like 10 or 20 others who are very conservative with their investing strategy.
Rob, this is a great topic for today, especially with the volatility, because ultimately what could have happened with a lot of those speculative investors is they didn't turn out to be as expected. So maybe they lost substantial savings or investment monies. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing because it sets the tone of just how difficult it is to invest in the short run in the markets. And so seeing this change of viewpoint, if you would, to let's call it slowly building wealth through just really core portfolios is just a great lesson for individuals to learn, especially for young people who at times may underestimate the power of time and compounding.
And I think also maybe you just hear stories or maybe you've witnessed it yourself of people who did get involved in speculative assets, or maybe they have long memories of the financial crisis 16 years ago and they just don't want to get involved in that sort of thing. I mean, I remember one person saying, I'm investing in my 401k because I don't want to put it in my mattress. I mean, that's the level of conservative we're talking about here. But also there's a happy medium between the two.
And that's an important conversation to bring up, Rob. It just don't think all or none, right? So you could have a core stable portfolio made up of, let's say, blue chip stocks, dividend paying stocks, and some bonds, conservative wise. And then a portion of that portfolio can be for a little bit more esoteric or more volatile assets, right? Diversification. You don't want to swing from conservative to aggressive or speculative because the winds in the markets have changed. You want to be really disciplined in your approach and have a plan. And that's what I find most people not doing. Go through a financial fire drill today. If the markets would by chance drop, let's say 30, 40, 50% today, how would that make you feel? And if it's way too much risk, then look at adjusting the portfolio so you're not making emotional reactions at the worst inopportune time.
It seems like if you're in your 20s or 30s and you're just starting out, you know, maybe you have your retirement account and that you don't touch it. That is a, in case of emergency, break glass asset. But maybe you have a little extra spending money, and why not use that to kind of play around with the markets, as it were, and develop an investing strategy?
And that's exactly it. So again, it's keeping away from that all or none strategy and just trying to find ways that are comfortable for you, not chasing the next brightest, shiniest investment object, but what's of interest to you and what can you invest in? And again, if we talk to our clients who are in their 60s and they're retiring, time and time again, Rob, they tell us, I have no idea how we accumulated this much money. And the answer is discipline and slow, and you took the time, right? You invested over time. And that's, again, for your young listeners out there, I can't implore that any more emphatically to say, hey, take time, invest, and be strategic. And what you said, Rob, is spot on. Have a plan. Have an investment plan in good times and in challenging times.
Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.